The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. With apologies to Colby Wooden, who apparently Jason Wilde told us was the only guy who did not practice yesterday, it does feel very good that after the bye week, all of the Green Bay Packers, with the exception of Colby Wooden, were on the practice field yesterday. Chew, does that make a difference when you don't have guys who are injured or limited or questionable headed into a big game, a rivalry game, to start off the second half of your season? Again, it feels like a step in the right direction. It feels like another reason for optimism surrounding this Green Bay Packers team this weekend.
Yeah, you always want to be full strength. Injuries most times are luck. You look at, there's a handful of good teams out there that season is over because of injuries. I mean, Miami comes to mind, even though Tua's back. I don't know if they can recover. Dallas, they're done. So they've been pretty lucky so far as when it comes to not losing guys for the season. So because we are getting close to, all right, now here we go. We're probably a month away from here we go. We got to start trending upwards.
Well, that's the exciting part, Chew. They're 6-3, and I think their best football's ahead.
Yeah, and they haven't played great football. And I think, Jen, that in part is why the line is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers are coming off.
Because the last game they played,
disappointing.
They didn't play very well. So it is nice. It's very nice. Now, there are a couple positions where they really can't afford to have injuries, and hopefully they make it through. But, yeah, anytime you're full strength, You're feeling pretty good about yourself.
That's where, to me, having, especially after coming off the Lions game, Jair, Evan Williams, hearing that those guys are healthy and ready to go. I mean, you knew that Jordan, he played through the groin injury against Detroit, so you knew he was going to be continuing and ready to go. The fact that Myers, after you had the bad snaps, okay, shouldn't be an issue against Chicago. He'll probably be ready to go. Having Jair, having Evan Williams in your full complement in the secondary, because that's really a place, Chew, that can't afford injuries, is the secondary, because it gets pretty thin pretty quick. That makes me feel good coming out of the bye. All right, they were able to get healthy. Now we can start rolling the final eight.
And we're getting close to scoreboard watching. You know, tonight's a big game. Philly playing Washington. That's going to have ramifications at the end of the season. And then you look at the North. Minnesota has a layup game. They are playing Tennessee, and then the Lions have a layup game against the Jags. So you can't lose a game like this. You know, you cannot lose, because if you lose this game, the North is gone, right? And then you have to, we're getting close to eyeballing. Well, who would you rather play, Philly or Washington? Would you rather play at Washington or at Philly? Or who would you rather play at home? So we're about, how far away you think we are to really start to scoreboard watch?
Well,
see what's happening with San Francisco in Arizona.
I think you're right. We're in the second half of the season. There's eight games remaining. You've got big-time NFC games going on. You're mentioning the Commanders at the Eagles tonight on Thursday Night Football. I think, yeah, if you're not staring straight at the scoreboard, you're at least peeking out of the corner of your eye, Gabe.
Yeah, I think it has to be. I think it's starting now, Chew. Because, yeah, I mean, the Eagles are a team that have a tiebreaker over you.
Like, who do you want to win tonight?
Well, again, if you're a Packers fan, wouldn't you be pulling for the Commanders?
No, I think you want Philly to win, because you want Philly to win the division. Because then you don't have to necessarily...
Yes, Philly's, and you don't have to compete with somebody else for those wild card
spots.
Yeah,
that would have a tiebreaker over you. You know, you would potentially have a tiebreaker over Washington. And you would be ahead of Washington if they lose, because then they have their fourth loss. And so that's the way I'm looking at it. Maybe you want to look at it a little bit differently.
No, I like that theory. That's a good one.
But also, I think the scoreboard watching starts now, because you have a long way if you want to catch Detroit, right? Like, chances are, in order to win the division, you can only lose one more time, and that game can't be to the Lions. You have to go, to me, I think, to win the division, you have to go 7-1.
But similarly, if you can beat the Vikings when you play them coming up, and you can beat the Bears, then you should be theoretically in second place in the division.
Yeah.
which probably locks up that wild card
spot. One of the wild card spots.
As opposed to sitting there and fighting with the Vikings for positioning and then wondering if you're going to be on the outside looking in. Is there any chance in anyone's mind that the Packers miss the playoffs this year?
Yeah, there's a chance.
Depends on the stretch. I mean, I watched San Fran last week. They're still meh,
but they
weren't sure about McCaffrey and how to use him and how much to use him. I would think by the time he gets to the Green Bay game, he's going to be full strength. Is it next week?
Yeah.
And they have
Bears, Niners, Dolphins.
And they have, do they have a layup game this week?
The Niners this week have the Seahawks at home.
Okay. I mean, that's a game they should win, but Seahawks, you know, like Seattle. Seattle's going to be a tougher game than the Bears. I don't think Seattle's making the playoffs, but it's a first-year coach, and he's going to have them fighting tooth and nail every game, and that's a tough place to play. They just can't crap down their legs with a game they should win, right?
Yeah, but I would also like to see them win one of these other big marquee games, because I would argue the three biggest games of the season, they have come up empty.
What did Adam say? He said he sees two losses in there?
To the Lions and the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Which would do what?
I mean, you're going to make the playoffs at that point.
But you're not.
You're not winning the division. Can't win the division.
So one wild card team gets a home game.
No wild card team gets home games.
I thought they did.
They did when you played, when there were only three divisions. But yeah, if you win your division, those three division winners host the three wild card teams.
So they're on the road for three?
If they're a wild card team, correct.
Ooh,
yeah,
I don't really like that. See, I think we're better. I was misinformed.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, you weren't informed at all, but...
No.
don't know if it was misinformation, it's lack of information.
So they're probably going to have to go, let's say they lose three, and they're the second wild card team.
11-6.
I think first round they're going to have to go somewhere tough.
Correct.
That's unbelievable at 6-3.
I am so glad that we can explain to how the playoffs work.
Well, maybe there's somebody else who's just as confused as Chewy out there thinking it was 1997.
It is distinctly possible. Let me ask you guys this. I have said I feel like the Packers should be favored by more in this game. And Gabe, you were nice to remind me, well, it is an away game. Usually that's 3 points right there. But I still can't wrap my brain around it. Am I missing something? Am I delusioned to think that the Packers, that there's no way the Packers lose this game? And I'm going to knock on everything. There's not a lot of wood right around here that I can quickly knock on, but I'll find some. Don't you worry to get rid of any jinx or voodoo I'm putting on this thing. The point I'm trying to make is there a chance that the Packers lose this game that I'm not seeing? And should I be, and again, I know we talked about interceptions and turnovers and those fluky things that can happen. But barring something like that, barring just like an odd day where Jordan Love is, you know, completing 40% of his passes and throwing the ball to the other team.
But that's not an odd day. Throwing the ball to the other team. He's literally done it every game he's played this season. That's not an odd day. If he doesn't do it against the Bears, that would be the outlier.
But they can still win the game with him throwing an interception.
Sure.
It would be if it happens over and over. And over again.
Which, again, it hasn't been that rare this season. Like, the Packers, and we think of them very highly, and we should, because we see the potential. They have not played up to that potential this year. And you look at the games coming into this, yeah, they squeaked one out against the Texans, squeaked one out against the Jaguars, laid an egg against the Lions. It's not like they're playing their best football going into the bye.
This is how it's going to work, okay? Because the Bears are going to come out chomping at the bit.
Sure.
Right? They're going to come out chomping at the bit.
Maybe.
A resurgent. If they don't meet that, because the Bears will quit. They will quit.
I agree.
If you get up 10-0, they will quit. And then they'll start finger pointing. If this thing is 13-10 at halftime, and the Bears are getting, you know, Packers up 13-10, and the Bears are getting the kickoff sack, they're in for a fight. They're in for a fight. Because the Bears are looking at themselves going, I don't think we're good. Well, maybe we're good. I don't, you know, what are we? You know, and if you let them hang around, which the Packers have done with teams this year, they're going to hang around. And the crowd's going to be into it. That's why they got to jump out. Because they're the better team. they're the better coaching, and they have better players,
and they're healthy.
Yeah,
like
to Gabe's
position
point,
by position. Is there a position that the Bears have where they're better than the Packers? Maybe run defense.
I would say the receivers are probably better as a whole.
Not by the stats.
No, but how good, yes, because Caleb Williams is bad. Yes, there were years where bad receivers had better stats than Larry Fitzgerald.
I was told to worry about Keenan Allen. He's dead.
Where are you at?
What do you mean?
Like, what do you think? Also, is it going to be a blowout?
Confidence-wise.
Also, the Packers lead the league in drops. Let's not pretend that they have star-spangled awesome receivers. Amazing.
But I also think that some of that is because Jordan Love has been playing hampered, has been playing injured, has been not 100%. I think that has contributed to ball placement, and I think that has contributed to some, not all. I'm not excusing all drops. There were certainly passes that should have been caught.
I mean, I think the Packers should win this game. The fact that it's 5.5 seems right to me. The Vegas is baking in, hey, this team makes mistakes. They don't play clean games.
Mm-hmm.
The total's very low. So for the those two things to marry up, there's not going to be enough points for it to be a blowout, really, in the sense. I think they could easily win by two scores. Like, that's just how NFL games go.
Well, but like 24-10, and then it still hits the other.
Right.
All right, rank these from top to bottom. Jacksonville without Lawrence, Tennessee, Chicago. Who's the best?
Chicago.
Then?
Tennessee?
And then Jacksonville?
Jacksonville without Lawrence.
Very convincing.
I mean, right? Detroit.
Tennessee and Jacksonville.
But isn't Detroit, Mac Jones starting this weekend?
Yeah. And it's a 14-point spread?
Yes. Yeah, 14-point spread because they are at Detroit.
And then Minnesota, Tennessee is 8?
6.
6. So they're probably looking at is Green Bay and Minnesota are
pretty
hand
equal.
In hand, and then
Tennessee
Detroit
still has
click.
A defense. They just are put in the worst position drive after drive because of their offense.
What is your confidence that the Packers will win the game this weekend? Because again, I feel very confident, but then there's this little voice that's like, maybe I'm too confident. Maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe there's an element here that I haven't thought about. And then when I say that, John weighs in on the YouTube page saying, Jen's overconfidence is making me worry about this game now. I'm not trying to create worry. I just feel very confident that the Packers are the better team top to bottom. I know you mentioned receivers, which I would argue that the receivers core for the Packers as a whole is better than the receivers core that the Bears have this season. I recognize that the quarterback plays a role in their production, obviously. Flat Smack says this is a typical trap game. I don't think the Packers are overlooking the Bears to get to the Niners.
Right? They're looking at the dysfunction, though.
Yeah.
They're looking at the dysfunction of it all, and new coordinator.
That have a similar effect, too, of you're looking at their, oh, man, look at that dysfunction. They got a new coordinator. Could that have the similar effect that you guys had when you went into Dallas and went, oh, Troy Aikman's not playing. Oh, and the second guy's not playing?
Well, it could. And
you let your guard down.
I saw on the text chain today that this coordinator's best game was in Carolina versus the Packers. Right?
I mean, it's Joe Barry.
No, I know that.
That's a good point. I'd forgotten about that little detail, to be perfectly
but
honest.
But there's the unknown, because we talked about the unknown with Halfley at the start of the season. Like, offenses don't know what he's going to do, how he's going to play. He didn't show much in the preseason. So there is an element of like...
The good thing is I don't think the Bears know either. If Caleb's not talking to his OC,
that's a good point.
They're going to their quarterback doesn't know what to expect. Yeah. How can we know what to expect if their quarterback doesn't?
But is that a Caleb thing? Have you ever?
Maybe
have
it
you
could
ever,
be his personality. Yeah, could be a little of his personality.
Yeah,
I think he's a little odd.
Yeah,
and I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in a judgment way. I just think that.
You think I'm odd?
Let's go to break.
Wait.
What? You think I'm odd, too.
Well, of course I do, but that's part of...
Duck.
Yeah, but that's why I love you. Okay. You're one of one. There is only one you.
This isn't beating me up.
No, this is me giving you love.
This is a warm hug.
Yeah, this is... Don't change, bud, please.
There's only one you, brother.
Never change.
And we're basically good cop, bad copping our way through this thing.
Did you put money on this game?
Not allowed to bet on the Packers.
Well, that hasn't stopped
you
before.
Doesn't stop you.
What are you talking about?
You bet money on a Packers game earlier this
not
year.
Not allowed to bet money on the Packers. Let me see what folks are saying on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, because we got to get to top 8-8. The Bears locker room is fighting over who their quarterback should be. We ain't losing this game. That from Justin in the 262. And then, of course, you've got Craig on the other side of saying they could lose. There's always the Tommy DeVito game. 800-990-3776. What is your confidence level for the Green Bay Packers this week? My confidence is very high. Stifler high. Confidence is high. Repeat, confidence is high. But where are you? Let us know. Gabe?
Our good friends at Ewald Automotive want to know, what can you do in an hour? Well, you could take a nap, maybe get some cleaning done around the house, go grab lunch with a friend, watch your favorite show, maybe go to a yoga class, gym, take care of yourself, or buy a car. That's right. At Ewald Automotive, you can be in and out in about an hour. All you have to do, go to ewaldauto.com, select a vehicle that you're interested in, and get your instant price. You can then get a firm trade-in offer on what you have, customize your payment option, even add your own protection plan. After you do all that, you head to the dealership, and you're in and out in about an hour. All you have to do is go to ewaldauto.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Accutrans offers a variety of transportation and hospitality services for conventions and events of any size. I cannot stress enough, guys, with the holiday season now here, you're going to be going to company parties. You're going to be going to parties at friends' houses. And if you don't want to drive, Accutrans can handle it for you. They provide airport transportation, hotel shuttles, individual transfers, even on-site greeters for those types of events. Private transportation made simple. That is Accutrans' motto. They are a veteran-owned group, and they are who I use when I need to get from the airport to my house reliably and safely. Go to their website, AccutransGroup.com, to get a quote or book a reservation today, guys. New Year's Eve right around the corner. If you want Accutrans to handle your transportation, go to their website, AccutransGroup.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we got, Gabe?
It is Bears week, so the list of 8 things I have in front of me have to do with the Chicago Bears. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans, 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. Since 1958, I am looking for the 8 Packers players who have scored the most touchdowns against the Chicago Bears. Since 1958, the 8 players with the most touchdowns against the Chicago Bears for the Green Bay Packers.
Want to start?
Don't all go at once now.
Since 19... So you'd have to play a lot of games, right?
Well... They were only playing 14 games, I believe, in 58 for a while.
So, like...
But how long have they been playing them twice?
Like, oh, who's a receiver? Like, Greg Jennings to me is...
That's solid
Greg Jennings
guess.
On the list.
Greg Jennings scored 5 touchdowns in his career against the Bears. Enough. That's 17th on the list.
Devontae
Adams with 10 touchdowns, number 3 on the list.
Let's go Donald.
Donald Driver. Scrolling.
All right, caller.
Scrolling.
That was quick.
Chewy Mulligan won.
Donald Driver, and I'll give one
right,
away.
Combined, we get one.
Donald Driver has the same amount of touchdowns against the Bears as you. Do you know how many touchdowns you scored against the Bears?
I had 2 in one game, I remember. 3?
3?
Yeah. Can't remember the other one.
You, Donnie Anderson, Brett Favre, Brent Fulwood.
I'll just say it was an interesting decision to not think of any running backs.
It was a choice.
It was?
Certainly a choice.
800-990-3776. We are looking for the eight players, although we do have one off the list, right, Devontae?
Devontae, yeah. So you're looking for seven.
Seven players who have scored the most touchdowns against the Bears since 1950. What?
1958. Now, why? Again, maybe you would ask yourself, well, why would he go with 1958? Yeah.
That's got to
be a Lombardi.
Certainly didn't ask myself that at all. 800-990-3776. Looking for people to play top 8 at 8. Looking for the top 7, because we already have Devontae Adams. Players who have scored the most touchdowns against the Bears since 1958. Let's go out to Dave in Oak Creek. Dave, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Let's go with Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones with 11 touchdowns is number 2 on the list.
Keep it up. Keep it going.
All righty. Let's go with, Dorsey Levin.
Dorse the horse.
Dorse the horse. It's not going to be there. I got to search his name here. Dorsey Levin's 4 career touchdowns against the Chicago Bears.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Dumpy in West Bend. Dumpy, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Probably not. But I just want to say
self-awareness.
I just want to say I think if Jen bets on the Bears, the Packers will win for sure.
Oh.
Oh.
Let's not tempt fate.
Okay, I got Sterling Sharp.
Sterling Sharp with 8 touchdowns. He is number 8 on the list.
Ooh.
Did somebody say Devontae already?
Yeah, so the 3 we have now, Aaron Jones is 2, Devontae Adams is 3, and Sterling Sharp number 8.
No stalling, Dumpy. You know he guessed Devontae.
I'm not Googling anything, I promise. Robert Brooks.
Robert Brooks had 7 career touchdowns just outside the top 8.
Good guess, though.
800-990-3776. Need contestants to play top 8 at 8. We are looking for the remaining 6 players on our top 8 list. 5. Oh, we got 2. Yes. Give me the list again.
We have Aaron Jones at 2, Devontae Adams at 3, Sterling Sharp at 8. So we need 1, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Players who have scored touchdowns against the Chicago Bears, as it is Packers-Bears week.
Is this a tough list?
No. All these players either are in the Packers Hall of Fame or will be in the Packers Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Because, like, Devontae's on the list. Yeah, he'll be there.
Yeah.
I wonder if we should have guessed
Aaron Jones.
Quarterback. I remember a quarterback running a touchdown in saying something like, well, something. Something. Peter in Austin, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Good morning. I think I missed some, but I'm going to go with Bubba Franks.
Scrubby Bubby.
Scrubby Bubby.
Nah, he's scrolling.
Number 4. He's got 4.
800-990-3776. Damn. Mike in Fond du Lac, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Well, I'll try. How about James Lofton?
That's a solid guess.
James Lofton scrolling. He also has 4. Not on the top 8.
800-990-3776. Go out to Dustin in Milwaukee. Dustin, you're up next. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Paul Hornung.
Paul Hornung with 9 touchdowns is tied for 4th.
I got no one else.
All right, so we've got half the list down. Aaron Jones at 2, Devontae at 3. Hornung is tied for 4th, and Sterling Sharp is 8 on the list.
John in Milwaukee, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson with 8. He's tied with Sterling, so he is on the list. So we just have 6, 4, and 1 remaining.
Amon Green.
Amon Green had 6 career touchdowns against the Bears. He is outside the top 8.
Let's see. Now we got a lot of folks calling in. Josh in Milwaukee, you're the next contestant on our top 8 at 8. Can you complete our list?
I don't know if I'll be able to complete it, but what about Mark Chmura?
So, Chewy,
he already said.
I gave that one away. Chewy only had 3 touchdowns against the Chicago Bears, which tied him with Donald Driver.
Why'd you have to say only? You could have just said three.
More than you have.
You didn't have to say only.
Well, maybe you should play better against the Bears.
Am I right, Jen?
I think yes. I mean,
you could have got the same effect with, no, Chewy had 3. No, he only had 3. See what I mean, Josh? Can I get some kind of drop for this?
Yeah, it's going to be, where? Yeah.
Fair. Fair.
We have that one. 800-990-3776. Let's see. James in West Dallas is next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list, James?
Donald Driver.
Already guessed. Incorrect. He only has 3 touchdowns against the Chicago Bears.
Guess again.
Do you feel better about that?
Yes.
sorry, I was on hold. Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, have no idea who he is.
Darn it. I thought maybe he had more rushing 2 touchdowns than that.
I think I got a wild card.
He has 2. You've got more than Rodgers had.
There you go.
Makes me feel a hell of a lot better. Does that mean I'm going to the Hall of Fame?
Can you imagine that speech?
Yeah.
Mark Chmura scored 1 more touchdown than Aaron Rodgers did against the Bears. For that reason, he's going in the Hall of Fame. All right, let's crank through some of these people here. Eric in West Bend, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and
Chewy. You can kind of skip that era.
Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I'm going to go with Greg Jennings.
I guessed that initially and first, so you can guess again.
Yeah, I was incorrect.
Okay. Thank you.
We're missing an easy one.
Sterling Sharp.
Sterling Sharp was already correctly guessed. I'll quickly reset the list. We do not have 1. 2 is Aaron Jones. 3, Devontae Adams. Tied for 4th is Paul Hornung. And then Jordy Nelson, Sterling Sharp are each tied for 6th with 1 more still named there.
There's an easy one. Forgot all about it.
I'll write it down.
I forgot his name. I use a receiver.
Told you.
Yeah, my mind's going blank.
All right.
Good job. Good effort.
Brady in West Bend, you're up next. Let's try to fly through some of these. We're out of time here. Brady in West Bend, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The Bear Killer, Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb tied with Paul Hornung. He has 9 career touchdowns, meaning we just have 2 left on the list. Somebody tied for 6th and the number 1 on the list.
Guess again, Brady.
Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy had 6. He is outside the top 8.
Let's go out to Randy in the dump truck. Randy, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How about Jim Taylor?
Number 1 on the list. 15 career touchdowns for Jim Taylor against the Chicago Bears, leaving just 1 on the list. He is tied with Jordy and Sterling Sharp with 8 career touchdowns against the Chicago Bears.
How about Carroll Dale?
That is incorrect.
Sam in Menominee Falls, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Yes, I think so. Is it Amon Green?
Amon Green already incorrectly guessed. He has 6, so we'll give you another one.
Dang it. That was a...
All right.
Oh, okay. How about Freeman?
Antonio Freeman is correct!
Eight career touchdowns
against the Chicago Bears.
Congratulations to Sam and Menominee Falls. You're our big winner this morning. Ron in the Key weighing in saying next week we go back to Gabe's favorite fingers or another list people can actually Google. That's a good list.
Yeah, that was good.
Good names, good... How did you aggregate it? You didn't just Google it, right?
No. Used a service through Pro Football Reference.
To find...
Yeah, just
this list that I pulled up just now, and once we're out, I pull up a list to kind of follow along.
Mm-hmm.
It did not have Taylor on the list. So I wonder if it was from a different time period.
Yeah, because, this is since 1958. Because all time, Don Hutson would have been on the list, which maybe people would have guessed. But there was another name if you went all time that nobody would have thrown out there.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good list.
Tis the season for celebrating at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Join them this holiday season for special events to get you in the festive mood. Look, I know the holidays are busy, but if you're looking for something to do, guys, St. Kate has tons to offer. They have that brunch with Santa that the kids will love. They've got a holiday marketplace, which is absolutely a great way to spend a holiday afternoon, and one-of-a-kind dinner and a show experiences. And if you decide you want to make a night of it, they have special packages right now available for overnight stays at St. Kate's. Celebrate the holidays with St. Kate. Learn more by visiting stkatearts.com/holidays.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take
Jesus and the presents out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Minute pivot, guys, because on ESPN.com, Andrea Adelson, who is a senior writer for college football at ESPN, just published an article that says, even in death, college football fans want to be at their favorite stadiums. And she goes on, I was reading it during the break, to talk about how it has become a thing where universities recognize that fans are so passionate about their favorite teams that they want to offer them the opportunity to be cremated and kept at a space at the stadium. For obviously, they're going to charge a hefty penny, hefty price. So, you know, as they're continuing to look for revenue streams, this is a way to continue to collect money from people in perpetuity, right? Like the estate ends up paying for them to be at their spots. Does this creep you out at all?
No, because I know people that have their ashes in Lambeau. I don't know people, but I know people who said they brought in ashes into Lambeau. And they
spread them, probably.
Spread them. Yeah.
Well, but they're just holding the ashes somewhere in the stadium, right? They're not spreading the ashes on the field.
I don't believe that they are spreading them on the field. There is a family in this article, as I was going through it during the break, that says that they did sprinkle the ashes just outside of the stadium by a tree. And then every year, that's where their tailgate is, because that way their loved one is still at the tailgate. I did that story recently on Game Day about the young lady who is buried at the cemetery next to Sanford Stadium in Athens, Georgia. Like, this is, does not feel that far-fetched to me. This does not feel that unusual. Honestly, as soon as I read it, I was like, yeah, duh.
I mean, so they're just taking the ashes and they're storing them somewhere in the bowels of the stadium?
I would imagine they're going to make like a memorial where they're going to like entomb them each.
Yeah.
Kind of like a mausoleum.
It's called is it a crematorium
is it called a crypt?
A crematorium is where you actually cremate them, I believe.
It's a columbarium is what it's called.
Huh. I don't have a problem with it.
And again, this story talks about a bunch of different fan bases. It's not just one place that is kind of known for this. They are talking about how a lot of places now are giving that option, are offering fans the option to have their final resting place be the stadium of their favorite team.
So what happens if the stadium gets torn down and renovated?
I didn't read the whole article, Gabe.
So if I want to visit my loved one, I have to go to game days?
Pretty much.
There might be a side entrance. I believe that is one thing that was discussed, a side entrance to the building that you can kind of go into to visit your loved ones.
Where are you safe? You're safe in Lambeau. You're safe Yankee Stadium. You're safe in Fenway.
Yep. Well, but Yankees,
well, not even Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Why?
They had the old Yankee.
And this is the new Yankee Stadium.
I thought they renovated it.
No. They rebuilt the field itself is exactly the same as it was at old Yankee Stadium, but it is a brand new stadium.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Wrigley, Lambeau.
Wrigley.
Fenway.
Not basketball.
No, gosh, no.
Baseball, you said. Football. Where else football? Where? What will they never tear? Will they tear the Coliseum down?
No. No.
Never?
No.
Yeah. There, the Rose Bowl.
Right. That's
Rose
safe.
Bowl.
Yeah. I bet you there's people who have brought their ashes into the Rose Bowl and sprinkled them around there. You know, my husband is a huge Disney fiend. And he has said, like, oh, I'd like to have my ashes. That's not allowed.
Which park?
It's Magic Kingdom for sure. But again,
yeah, but
not
if you
allowed.
Go Shawshank Redemption, how are they going to know?
Let's be clear. By Shawshank Redemption, you are not talking about digging a hole through the wall. You're talking about cutting holes in your pockets and sprinkling the ashes.
Expecting that upon Dario's untimely death, that Jen was going to crawl through the toilet bowels of Disney, sneak in and spread the ashes?
What park?
Magic Kingdom.
Oh. Ah, I got to go Epcot. Right?
I don't have it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm, no.
What?
I'm not spreading my ashes at Disney.
Are you going, would you spread your ashes at Lambeau? Would you spread your ashes at the baseball field at Horicon High?
It's a fair question. Answer the question.
No. No, I would, it would feel weird to me. Now, maybe if they actually get a display for some of these, like, it would still just feel really weird to me that I would have to visit the stadium in order to, like, am I going to have to pay an entry form? Do I get access to the side, or do I have to pay a little $5 fee if I want to visit my loved one every time? Like,
at least you have a choice.
A vibe. Yeah, it's just.
At least you have a choice. My wife's going to be like, well, how did he treat me at the back end of our marriage? He's either going to the dump or he's going to Lambeau Field.
So she would sprinkle your ashes at Lambeau Field?
Or the dump.
There's no in between either, is there?
What's going to be the deciding factor?
Jewelry center.
See, that's where the deep thinker comes from. That's the idea about you being the deepest thinker on the program comes from. I ask a question and you work a sponsor in. Proud of you. I'm proud of you.
I'm more hung up on your husband wishing to be spread at Disney.
Why? He loves Disney.
Yeah, there's kids there. That's like the thing. feels like you're bringing the exact opposite vibe. Spreading to 10 person's ashes.
Well, no one is going to know. That's the point, I believe. Again, I'm not doing it. I'm a Disney employee. Okay?
You think that's a crime?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
It is against the rule at a lot of places.
Well, rules are rules, but I mean,
is it a crime?
Is it a crime?
Like punishable by law?
If you got caught dumping his ashes in Disney,
I'm guessing there's a fine. I think it's probably a misdemeanor. Probably some sort of fine.
Okay.
Anyway, I encourage you to read the article that Andrea Adelson worked tirelessly on. She says it was decades in the making of finding people who feel so strongly about their respective teams that they want to be there in perpetuity, there for eternity. It's even in death. College football fans want to be at their favorite stadiums. You can find it on ESPN.com.
This year, during the NBA in-season tournament, ESPN Milwaukee is putting Bucks tickets on the line. All week long, tune into ESPN Milwaukee. Be entered into our Emirates NBA Cup Bracket Challenge. Right now, caller number four. Caller four to 800-990-3776 gets to pick one of the two teams we have remaining in West Group A. We have the Clippers and the Blazers remaining. Once you pick your team, follow that team throughout the in-season tournament. And if they win, you win two Bucks tickets. And if your team doesn't win, you can still secure your seats to see unforgettable moments. Bucks.com/tickets. Call right now, 800-990-3776, to enter the Emirates NBA Cup Bracket Challenge.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go. Turn your best face on.
Everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody, you know what's going to get me through this very busy weekend, guys? Going down to game day, going off to Camp Randall for the game, Celsius Energy Drink. And you know what? It also fuels Travis Hunter, Jalen Milrow, and Dylan Gabriel, and some of the other college football stars out there. Stay active and energized all game day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit. Feel like I'm gonna pee. If you missed, let's try that
yellow
again. Friday. If you missed, it's for me, Friday. Sorry, it's Friday. If you missed the first segment of our show, we were talking about the ice cream store situation that Joshie brought to us this morning of the gentleman who took 9 samples and then was kindly asked to cut it out. No more samples for you. Joshie, what was your rule again about the samples?
You have to be 12 and under to receive a sample. 13 and up, deal with it. Sugar.
Sugar. You think if you throw the sugar on there, it makes it more palatable?
No, I'm trying to call everyone who gets samples above the age of, you know, adults getting samples, babies.
We put it on the Jen Game and Chewy Twitter poll.
Grow up.
Peter Pan, Count Chocula. Are you in favor of Josh DiMaggio when he says samples at the ice cream shop should be limited to only children 12 and under? 46% of people are saying yes. 54% of people are saying no. You did offer the caveat of new/strange flavors. If there's a new/strange, sort of ambiguous flavor, you can get a sample, but you limit that to one. And then you got to choose. Either you're going with the one you just tried, or you're going with an old standby.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair, because there are places want to sell their new things. That's totally fair. They do crazy things. It's like, hey, this is fun, but you might actually end up hating it. So, like, that's fair. But when you're going cookie dough, or you're going Rocky Road, you know what it is. You got an idea.
Oh, cookies and cream. Never had that before. Can I try some?
What would you say if you were the ice cream person and someone pulled that on you? Whoa! Whoa! Are you just independently wealthy all of a sudden, Gabe Neitzel? You don't need this job?
The camera's fine, so you can do naughty things to the camera.
I thought you said nudity. I was like,
well, that's naughty.
That's not allowed. Can't do that one.
That's technically naughty. All right, I just learned something today.
I was going to update you on the polls, but, you know, him threatening to show his is way better. Jen Game and Chewy is over. We'll be in touch next.